I'm going to read that one verse text in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 to get us started. And I'm also going to read a brief text from 1 Peter chapter 1 as a getting started place. These two verses or series of verses will be what we're going to be looking at for just a little bit. So if you have your Bible right there in front of you, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, here's what it says. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it, it said, for from it flow the springs of life. Keep your heart all vigilance, for from the heart flow the springs or the issues, as many translations have said, of life. This is what's coming from who you are, from the center of your person, your being. Now, the next verse I want to read, the text I want to read, is in 1 Peter. And I want you to watch it closely as we look at it. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll start at verse 3. And here is what the Word of God says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Now notice, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Those who are looking forward to what has been provided by Jesus Christ are those who are being guided, kept for that purpose as they live here. As they live here in this place, they are being kept by the power of God, guarded through faith. Now, faith is important. Not only we have to look at this and understand that those believers who are trusting in Christ believe that He has provided for them this life and He has gone to work on their behalf. And it is their belief in Jesus, their trust in Him, that makes it possible for them to walk and obey and receive from Him what is needed to carry them through to that final victorious place. So those verses kind of build a beginning and an end for what is being said about the purpose of being here, and that is, in this proverb scripture, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, the other thing I need to say about this is that we are not able to keep our own hearts by our own muster, our own strength. This is a thing that God is doing for those who believe. We just saw it in 1 Peter. So that as they live in a hard place or a difficult place, they can still find themselves reaching out, trusting Him. By faith in Him, they are receiving what they need to live victoriously. Not overcome by sin, not overcome by selfishness, but able to live obedient, powerful, faith-led lives. Our heart is significantly important in our journey. We're going to figure out in a little bit what that heart is. But we need to recognize the significance of our own heart, of who we are at the centerpiece of our being. Amen. The reality of who we are in this journey. Those two texts that I read, the first one gives us a stringent duty. Tells us that what we want to do, what we must do, is keep our heart and be vigilant about keeping it. Now, who is he talking to? Any of us? He want to make the application from God. There's a lot of things that pop out of Proverbs, but God would say to His people, keep your heart with all diligence. I'm helping you at this point. I'm going to be the helper that makes it possible for you to live this. It's going to be because I am your Lord and you have been regenerated and the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in you, that you have what is needed to grow near to God and to have your heart quickened, changed, and empowered with the presence of the living God. An amazing, amazing thing. The latter promise is simply God's helping us. that He is the one who is going to be there to give us the grace to change the heart, or to guard the heart, Relation between them. You could just say a relation between the law and the gospel, couldn't you? Because when you think about the law of God, how many of you, when you first started trying to figure out how to walk with Jesus, the law of God was the most important thing because you had the law, it was given to you, you knew there was a way to live. You do what is right. You obey this law. You obey this and this and this, and you live free, but you couldn't do it because you were trying to get freedom while trying to earn your own way by keeping the laws. See, if you study the scripture, if you talk to people coming up in Christ all these years, it is not our ability to guard our heart that makes it possible for us to trust God to work in us. It's God's work in us that makes it possible for us to trust Him and to be changed by Him. And that's the thing He's always doing, always working in our lives. And I love the thought of it. Don't always do the perfect obedience to it, but love the thought of it as we walk this place along the way. Keep with all diligence. Keep with all keeping is another way to say it. Just keep and keep and keep. And the Holy Spirit is there to help make the changes in your life as you walk this way. You've got a stringent order and you've got a motive. Out of the center of your life, out of the heart, comes all these things that come from your life or affect your life. All of it comes from the heart. Keeping and right managing of the heart is every Christian's joy, able to live this kind of life. Not rousing law coverage, but just being able to obey the joyous reality of His presence. Obey Him. Trust in Him along the way. Now let's listen to the first verses, or the first words that I want you to think about. Here is the ESV. This is the one I'm always using, translation. ESV, keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. English Standard Version translation of that 23rd verse. Now let's try the King James, and you'll remember this if you've read through Proverbs very much. Keep thy heart with all diligence, out of it are the issues of life. King James Version. Then there is the message, keep vigilant, watch over your heart. That's where life starts, he said. And then there's the New International Version, same scripture, above all else, guard your heart. It is the wellspring of life. Again and again and again, these are very close to the same statements. Very important way of looking at how we think. So we start with what is meant by the word heart. What does the heart mean? If I'm talking to you about your heart, what am I talking about? As a believer, talking about the heart, what am I bringing up there? What does the heart represent to you?
Life.
Okay, life. It is true. It is life. The life that we have inside, out of which come all the issues of our life, is the heart. We usually thought about it as mind, emotion, will, and one other thing to be sure was the conscience. These things all working right when the heart is right. We're mind, we're thinking right. We're emoting properly. We're doing all of this. We use the word in a lot of ways when you look at it in our own language, English language. The life of the heart is a place of mystery. But we have expressions that we use to express what it is. Let me just give you a couple of those. We describe a person who has no compassion as heartless. You ever heard that? Sure. Someone with no heart. Someone is heartless toward another. And we urge him to have a heart, man. Have a heart. This might be a good practice for us. Because part of what we're doing in the next weeks and months as the Lord works in our lives is seeking His face for the adjustments that need to be made to make us viable as a body of Christ where we are today. We've been viable as a body a long time. 42 years worth of it, this church has existed. So we've had a viable life. I always get a little concerned, and I still do, when people fuss more than they encourage when it comes to the church. Listen, you are the church. So how you act and how I act and what we do, this is who the church is. What does God want from us? How does He want to make the adjustments? How's He going to work in the leadership? What's going to happen? Some of us are getting older. Some of us, if we get in our families, they think we're old, I'm sure. So we don't give them a chance to say that. We just kind of buzz on through, enjoy the family. But there's much that we can consider here when we talk about what's going on in the heart. A good thing that used to work for us years ago, we had some guys, had a new church plant. We were going strong, and finally we decided that the best way to check our spiritual temperatures was to greet each other every once in a while with, "How's the heart? How's your heart?" "Well, it's still there." "No, not that one. We know quite a bit about what that one's doing in this congregation, don't we? Been a plenty of that, a lot of heart surgery, so we know what that's talking about." It's a pretty amazing instrument, you know? It's an amazing instrument. This whole body is an amazing instrument. It really is. So maybe once in a while, as we pray about the things that we're praying about now, we ought to just out of the blue ask our brother or sister as we gather one Sunday or as we depart, "How's your heart?" What we're asking is, how are you in your relationship with God? How are you in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ, His Son? Because that's who you are as a child of God. You've been born again. You have His life in the Spirit. You're able to acknowledge that you belong to God because of His great grace and love toward you, that you didn't earn anything, but He gifted you. And how is it now? Well, it's still good because God is still working. If you can say that, that's a good thing. Now, if you can say it's getting hard, we might want to sit down and just read these verses again, go over some others, think about it. Find a brother and say, "Come pray with me," and this happens some in this congregation, or a sister, "Come pray with me," and it happens along the way. Our deepest hurts we call heartaches, don't we? Heartaches. We're not talking about this little heart. We're talking about your inner person. We're talking about your personality, your very being as a living soul. Jilted lovers are broken-hearted. Courageous soldiers are brave-hearted. Yeah, that maybe get us out of the country. One brave heart takes us all the way over to the good old European side of things. Courageous soldiers are brave-hearted. An evil person is black-hearted. Some people have hearts of gold or good hearts. You ever said of people in this congregation, "He has a good heart"? She has a good heart. That's a shortcut for me, and I use that a lot because a good heart, we understand what a good heart is. It's a heart after God. It's a heart who pursues a relationship with Jesus. A heart thankful for a relationship with Jesus. A heart careful for the people around him in a relationship with that. Hearts of gold, good hearts. And if we need to speak at an intimate level, we ask for a heart-to-heart, frank, sincere conversation. I guess if you have the right vacation, you can say when you get there, as you settle down, "I feel lighthearted." I'm a pastor. I'm not sure how long it takes to get there when you're out on vacation. It looks like lighthearted shows up about 6, 7, 8, 10 days in, depending on how much there was in my little notebook when I left. But that's okay. That's what we do. You got to get somewhere sometime just to slow it all down so we can put it back in. How God does it. He just works on us, puts us back in. When we lose our passion for something, we confess, "My heart's not in it." And the regular text again, "Above all else, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life." And that's the NIV. Everything flows from the heart, from the inner man, from the new man. and God works there. We're not making the changes that produce the effective ministry. We're loving the Lord who works in us to make possible the effective ministry. And it doesn't matter your age. I don't know how many times I've said this through the years, but I'm telling you, if you will open your heart and keep it open and keep seeking to know the Lord, He will give you things that we young people need. How you like that we young people thing? We find God at work in ways that our lives are blessed and touched. But everything, all real caring, all meaningful work, all true worship, all sacrifice comes from the heart. I did some thinking a lot of years ago about a subject, and I still feel about the same way I did when I was thinking it through. We sometimes, you know, we forget how things come to us if we're children of God already. Do you know there's not one thing that misses or bypasses or stays away from the hand of God when something is going on in your life and it's hard, it's difficult, it's grand? You think, where is God? He's right there. He's right there. And there are some things that happen to us where He simply says, this is my plan for you. And you don't hear that. You don't know that. You don't want that. What you want to do is initiate the prayer. Lord, I thank you that you don't want me to have this stuff here. I thank you that you want me to be free of all this. No pain, no anxiety, no trouble. I want you to you want to deliver me from that, don't you? Hallelujah. Well, let's start over. What is He going to do in you? What is He trying to make of you? See, it's not about what is going on that's bad. It's about how He works in our life to make it possible for us to glorify Him so that He can work through us, and we are going to give Him glory because He is our Lord and our God. We keep trusting Him in the process. The inner man is a good word for the heart. The inner man or the inner being, the inner life. All of our mental, moral activity, both rational and emotional elements, all there coming from the center of the heart. Who we are, the hidden springs of the personal life. What's in there? The deep places. The deep places, springs of the personal life that come springing up out of those places we don't normally see. And maybe sometimes it's things you don't normally see about yourself that God wants you to see that is most appropriate for you to make sure you get. The work of God in your life. Work of God in mine. And I can tell you, I've told you without telling you because I don't need to tell you too much detail. God is working some things in me. And I know it costs something to be used of God. And I know that when God is working in our life and we're sitting down a little more and a little more, wanting to run if we could, that we can't do that because the instruction is not going to come from inside us, except God is at work on the inside of us. So we don't get to do what we would like to do exactly. We get to sit down and listen and be quiet. Maybe have to repent there. Ever had to repent in the middle of your journey one time because you just couldn't let it go and God was trying to wash you and clean you and illumine you and make you His in a real and a deep way? We do that sometimes. We charge on. The innermost part in a man or a woman is the center part, and that's the heart. Out of which come all the springs of life. Right out of that heart. The hidden person of the heart. Let me read another scripture from over in the New Testament. 1 Peter again, chapter 3. Likewise, wives. Oh, this is going to talk to wives. See, you only talk to wives out of scripture when you're planning a message on wives and husbands. Nope. This just pops up when you read scripture. So this is good for all of us. Let's see what it says. Likewise, wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Your husband might be maybe not won yet, but you can win them not by preaching to them, but by just living a certain way, doing things a certain way, so much like Jesus. Look at this. When they see your respectful, pure conduct. Ooh. Maybe won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see their respectful, pure conduct. Celebrating husbands in a church service, when you begin to look at that and see it. Celebrating the changes, the beauty. Now listen to the rest of it. Do not let your adorning be external. The braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, putting on of clothing. That's what it says, isn't it? Yeah, I'll read the rest of it. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart. This is the person you don't see when you're dealing with each other. The revelation of that person is in some of the beauty things that are not planted on the outside, but that are growing up and coming forth from the inside. A little further. Let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Oh, man. Why is that so significant? Because in most cases, and I understand this with Grace Ellen, I know a lot of people who don't, you know, I don't want my husband ruling over me. Oh, I understand all that garbage talk. We did a lot of that going on because we want to be in charge. We want to be kings. But if it's unseen and there, the possibilities of a wife living in a way that touches that man, influences that family, not just the man but the family. My understanding is that the family kind of goes like mama goes, like your wife and the one in charge of the kids goes. I mean, that's kind of what happened. That's how we expected it to be. We got a lot of different things going on now. So many people who've lost full track of how to have a family home that puts everybody in their place and gives them joy and freedom to be there. That's another deal all the way. But this feast, this heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their husbands as Sarah did Abraham. It's with that inner beauty that you can't normally see. That in the working of the Spirit in the wife and in the relationship of the home, finally glimpses come and the man finds himself drawn to that kind of truth, something that changes the heart, and discovers that he too needs a heart change. God working something on the inside. For as he thinks in his heart, that's what he thinks he is. And the changes make things pretty nice. Mind, emotion, will, conscience. And going a little bit further, it includes desires, affections, perceptions, understandings, reasonings, imaginations, intentions, purposes. All of that part of an unseen soul and spirit reality in a child of God. All comes through and from the heart. The source of our motives is the heart. The seat or foundation of our passions is the heart. The center of our thought processes found in and through the heart. And the spring of conscience comes up from the heart. There's a lot in that I don't have time to break down or work at, but Let me show you a couple of things we can see in Scripture. Genesis, if you want to turn in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. This is things are already beginning to happen in the world of creation that are not good. Corruption, sin, in the days of Noah. We're only in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. Here's verse 5. Let's see what it says. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, trying to get an understanding of a heart like that. That's tough. Imagine when he searches and looks the place over, he finds one man that he can qualify for living in the face of all of that evil. Death. One man and his family. Noah and his family. And when God looked at the evil that was so continuous, which means it was a constant flow of evil out from a heart that should be producing something else. It's the ongoing reality of evil. It's evil when it starts now, and it's evil as it spreads. It's evil as it takes over a heart. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart, to his heart. So the Lord said, I'll blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I'm sorry that I made them. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That's a big. If you're Noah, that's big. Really is. Something about that heart, while everybody's heart was on evil continually. Turn with me to Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Do a couple more of these. 17 and 9. The heart is deceitful. You knew that's what it was going to be, didn't you? The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick or wicked. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. There is a justice judgment. According to what they deserve, according to what they get. The heart is deceitful. He searches and doesn't find very much, as you know. Engraven with sin might be a way to say it. That engraved on the heart of a whole generations of people in Noah's day was this evil that simply declared, this is who they are. This is who they are. Thoughts on evil continually. Thoughts, sins, evil things that come out of the heart. The heart can be reversed when God does His work. He can take out a heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. He can take the Word of God that He stands sure to and write it on their hearts, put it right on the inside, making it an impression in their flesh. Flesh taking place of stone, rock. Made, as in Jeremiah 31:33, to bear the imprint of God's Word. God's Word imprinted in their heart. What is a person like if God comes along and changes their heart by imprinting in that heart the Word of God? Wouldn't that change things? Wouldn't that make a big difference? Wouldn't it start things down the right path? So that when we look at the new covenant and understand how it works, we go back to the old covenant and talk about how God saved people and how He made of them new by placing a new heart of flesh in place of a heart of stone. by taking the Word of God that points to the redemption of God and all that and tying it in, putting it there, printing it there, making it there, so that out of the heart comes the expression of that. The life coming out of the heart makes it happen. The pure in heart shall see God. That's cardia. You familiar with the word cardia? Seen a cardiologist lately? That's the word in Greek. Cardia simply is that reference to heart. And it's pure in heart shall see God. In Matthew 18, the forgiveness must come from the heart if you're going to have a relationship that's made right before God, especially if there's a squabble between two brothers in the setup. Word is sown and must come to fruition in the heart. That's the Word of God in the heart of a believing child of God. We are to love God with all our hearts. And God searches them and He says, that's good. That's good. We don't use this subject matter very much, I know. And I don't like to either. But I do like to hear of God's so working in your heart and mine that Christ Church wakes up one Sunday morning and recognizes our God is here. And we are here. And He is the giver and the worker. And we are the recipients of it. Let's open our hearts to it. Maybe we won't even be able to say, let's open. Maybe we'll be on our faces already, crying out in repentance. Maybe we'll already be getting our life in order to be used of God for the lost around us. I don't know. But I know this for us. I've known you a long time now, really, as a pastor, as a friend. I know God has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, which Paul writes about in Corinthians. Paul understood that that shining light has come in and illuminated us. He knows that the redemption that we needed so desperately has been accomplished by the Messiah, that the glory of God in the face of Jesus had been revealed. And in the innermost resources or recesses of our being, we are illumined, cleansed, renewed, and maintained by attention to God's Word. Let me say it again. Listen. We know that God has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus. That's 2 Corinthians 4:6, one of my favorite preaching texts, I tell you. And then he goes on to say, in innermost recesses of our being, our hearts, our personhood, as Dr. Houston would always say at Regent, personhood. I said hood, he said hood, but we knew what we were talking about. In innermost recesses of our being, we are illumined. What is that? The light's on. The light's been turned on. The coming of Jesus into our life to save has made us aware of something we weren't aware of before, has given us light inside where we can begin to rejoice. Cleansed, renewed, and maintained by attention to the Word of God, who we are. I find a really good poem sometime from George Herbert, as you know. George Herbert I've been trying to read for all of my adult life. And I like him because he was a pastor at Bremerton in his days. And his church had about 60 seats maybe. And that was his first pastorate. He had about 60 seats. And they did pretty good, and he did other things with it. But he wrote some great poetry. One called Matins. Matins. What is that? Morning? Yeah, it got the morning music or the morning song. Now, you're not Roman Catholic, but churches follow those patterns where they have certain kind of singing later. Here's one verse of that poetry. My God, what is a heart? Now that gets your attention when you're talking about hearts. It's a good one to use, isn't it? What is a heart that thou shouldest it so eye and woo? What is a heart that you should put your focus on it, your eye on them, to woo them to yourself? Pouring upon it all thy art, as if thou hadst nothing else to do. He comes in, opens the heart, wooing it, drawing it, getting the heart there. And God just pours every bit of his fine artwork down on this little bunch or this one person. In the early morning hours when the psalms are read and sung for matins, all of a sudden, life comes in the dark and illumines the life and the light. I like the fact that he's pouring upon it all the art as if thou hadst nothing else to do. A good word for that is wow. Wonder of wonders, a little acronym. If our spiritual life, and I'll close with this in just a minute or two. If our spiritual life is moved into the outer world of activity, let's say, and this is where we operate so much. We think of what goes on outside, what I can do, what else I can do, what else can I do? When the truth of the matter is, where we have to start again and go back to is what you be once again. Not what you do, but what you be. What God has done in you and shaping your life. And if our spiritual life has moved into some outer world of activity even, for religious practice, here's what happens. Our heart drifts. Because in the context of a world askew, and that's a real silent word for what's really out there. Askew. This way and that way. In that kind of a world, it is so easy to drift. And the enemy would love to get every one of us as believers, not just to kind of step over and say, we're going to walk here and we're going to be nice, work it out, but to just discover all of a sudden, hey, the light's on. And I'm going to let him do what he wants to in me and send me outside when he wants to instead of something else. Hey, the light's on! And my heart is open. It's not plugged up. It's not bearing all the glove that was there at the beginning. It's just open now to God's call and whisper. I believe yet today, as I believed when I was ordained, that God calls us and shapes us and anoints us and sends us, and we're not done until he's done, even if we don't like it for 25 or 30 years. It is when he's done, we're done. But until then, my heart will go on singing. The song has to come from him. But I can say it because I'm his. My soul's going to keep on singing every time, no matter what. We got to love God and love people. That's what we do. The Pharisees, of course, had no heart in their living. No heart. It was all external. It was all things they did. It didn't change them on the inside. They were full of muck on the inside. There was no change. And the heart is the key to the Christian life. It's a wellspring of life. To lose heart is to lose everything. We can't do that. We have to keep going back. Lord, do it again. Let the heart, your glorious heart, reveal itself to me. Let it come. Let it come. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The tongue, get this, the tongue is that member of the body which communicates most readily with the heart. Out of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. if we can begin to live changing by His working the change, to be more and more like the Jesus we know as our Savior and our Lord and our King, that day is going to come when there is the beauty again, and the wholeness again, the life again in this place. Here's the command, keep or guard the heart. Here's the motive. Out of it, everything comes. Out of it, the issues of life. Out of it, the relationship with God. Out of it, your relationship with your neighbor. Out of it, your walk, wherever it is, open before a holy God. Before the holy God. We do what we do with diligence, motivated by the heart issues. We arrive where we never thought we'd be sometimes. And we don't return perfectly to everything. We don't have to. We obey where we are. We're praying that the Lord will show us the way He wants us to take. But we want our hearts full of Him. He doesn't have to show us anything until we're able to hear it. He'll work on us to get us able to hear it. But it'll be good, and it'll be important then. He'll show us who in this congregation is ready to go and ready to be and ready to serve and ready to live. He knows, already knows how He'll do it. And after 52 years of doing what I'm doing, I still feel like a school kid. Just jumped off in the playground and heard something, experienced something I didn't know before. He works in us. Make it a point in your quiet time when you kneel before Him. Start with, how's your heart? Say, Lord, let me ask myself of this, and then you show me. How's my heart? So when you get God to look at your heart, that's, man, you might be in there for a while, but you've got a chance. Get it done. Keep the heart right. You know, the hard thing about it, and I'm going to close now. The hard thing about it is the greatest difficulty in converting someone, in conversion, let's just say it like that, is to win the heart to God. Conversion now, not just pray a prayer type, quote, salvation, but conversion, where the heart is changed. And the greatest difficulty after conversion is to keep the heart with God. To win the heart to God is big. Oh, we just got started, though. That's the part that always sends me flagging back to the prayer room. I don't know if I can do that outside stuff. I don't know if I can be effective among that kind of people. Some of you have already been very effective. When we first started, we could be effective among people who were drunk. They'd come into a meeting while we were yet having a service, go to the altar, and we'd pray with them until they were clean out. But that didn't stay that way. Because you have to take them and prepare them, and they didn't have time for that. Just heard a song that got their heart moving as they walked by or something like that. No, we didn't have those every day. We didn't have those very often. But when they came, you know, I was very naive as a pastor. I thought, everybody wants to be a part of our church, and everybody wants to be saved, and everybody wants to win the lost. And I was wrong. But guess what? I'm still here. Not done yet, you guys. I marvel at what God does through some of you. I got to listen to a little bit of W. I haven't got all of it worked out yet. Craig's getting him some good, clean tapes we can hear. And hear that man preaching out of his heart for people who need him most. Well, can we say that? Maybe everybody needs him most. Jesus, I mean. Thank you for being a part, listening, obeying. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you again for this day you've given us. this day of worship, this day when the anointing breaks the yoke and brings the freedom. We're thankful for this day. We're thankful, Lord, that you are at work in some of us. Don't let us forget about the next step or about the step after. Let us simply remember that our job is to follow Jesus, that he's ready to lead us, that he's ready to empower us, that he's ready to work in us and through us. And we can finally say together one of these days over this congregation, thank you, Lord, for doing what you set us out to do, and we are satisfied with you all the way home. Have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen.